Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Hey, friends and family of Sex with Simmery. We are so grateful to have your listenership. We have the coolest fans in the world. It's pretty much the best. And we hope that the love is mutual. If you are interested in supporting the Sex with Simmery media, either the website, the podcast, head on over to patreon.com/sexwithsimmery and become a supporter. For as little as $1 a month, you can be a regular supporter and continue to bring independent media that provides the kind of information that you want to have out in the world. Over here at Sex with Simmery, we have been doing this stuff for years. As you've noticed, we've got over 200 episodes. The Sex with Simmery website has been up since 2008. We've been giving you the goods for absolutely no cost, and we will continue to do so as long as we can. So thank you so much for your listenership, and we do hope that you will check it out. Patreon.com/sexwithsimmery.
All right, we're gonna get this party started. Right now, if you were on the internet, you would be hearing the theme music. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. We are live from the Philadelphia Podcast Festival at Tattooed Mom. We have a nice mixture of folks who came here on purpose and folks who just found out that there was a sex thing happening. So they're gonna find out what's gonna happen. So welcome. This is the third of the Philadelphia Podcast Festivals, and Sex with Simmery has been a part of it for all three of them. We've been around for 200 million episodes, something appropriately like that. For those of you who don't know, you are at a sex podcast. We talk about fucking, and you're gonna get free shit. If you're good. All right. I have with me a couple special guests today I would like to introduce you to. So I have over here the lovely Brittany Lynn.
Good morning. Is this on? Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah, you can still just yell anyway. And you want it like up in there. And then the lovely Joey Martini.
Hello.
And these two kids are from the Tongue-in-Cheek Cabaret, which is the most epic sci-fi soap opera cabaret show in the gayborhood. I don't know if you could tell, but there might be some gayness on
just
that couch.
A little bit
of gay. So I want to talk to them a little bit about what's going on. So the Tongue-in-Cheek Cabaret, what is that about?
Well, so...
Wow, nice segue.
Throw you in the deep end.
So the Tongue-in-Cheek Cabaret happens at Taboo, and it's usually the second Friday of every month. And what it is was we wanted to feature drag queens, burlesquers, cabaret stars, and each one of us kind of fits that bill. Like, I'm the drag queen, usually much prettier, but I go to work right after this. and, you know, Joey is one of the biggest stars of the Peekaboo Review.
Thank you.
And Honey Tree over here at Tibbery, you know, she knows all the best of everything cabaret and sexiness and all that. And, you know, while we bring these performers, our friends, you know, for each category, it brings all the worlds together. But that wasn't enough for us. We wanted to also make it.
We also wanted a backstory going on behind all these numbers in this creepy theater that these mysterious things always happen and there's no explanation of it. So every time you come to the show, more of the story becomes revealed to you, whether it be, you know, somebody's body's found behind a curtain somewhere, and we just keep moving forward from there. It's what I enjoy about this, doing being a burlesque MC for 16 plus years now. it's a whole new approach. I mean, like, everybody's seen it all, you know what I mean? Especially in the burlesque community, or even in the drag community, or even the girl who has her fingers in every pie community. We've seen it all. And the fact that I love working with these people is that it's a whole different approach to how you view cabaret, where the audience is actually in on it as a voyeuristic watcher and investor in the show, because there is no audience. They're just investors come in to produce the show, which in turn you pay $5 to get in.
So just out of curiosity, how many folks here have ever been to a burlesque show? Yeah. All right. How many folks have ever been to a drag show? Yeah. All right. So we still got some folks we got to break in.
Yes.
We got some doing to do.
Yeah.
It's really cool because, like, we each have, like, our own character that's in the show. So, like, for example, like, Joey is sort of like an FBI X-Files investigator whose car broke down in front of the theater that me, as Edna Cheeky, you know, tongue-in-cheek theater, I own the theater, but it turns out I've been around for hundreds of years just sucking the souls and life essences out of all the performers, which is kind of what I do now anyway. Yeah. So,
there's no big difference. You know?
and Timmery here is, like, the next in line to take my position, so at the Cheeky Theater.
Right.
So
she's like a succubus.
And she just sucks the sexual energy, you know, and all this, and makes it all happen. So it's a good trifecta of horror going on, you know.
So the two of you have known each other for how long now?
Wow.
I can't do math. So I met him in 91.
Yeah.
91 here on South Street at the Theater Living Arts.
At the Theater Living Arts, we were doing the Rocky Horror Show, the live version of the Rocky Horror.
How long is that?
91, you said?
24 years.
Damn.
Is it really?
Oh, my God, is it?
That's disgusting.
Your relationship is old enough to drink.
That's true.
That's amazing. Wow.
I went to Temple here, I'm Jewish, but not that Temple, like the university. So, like, and I saw in the back of City Paper, I grew up in the Northeast as, like, a little gay boy, so, like, coming to the big city and going to Temple, the first thing I saw was City Paper. And the back of it was a big ad, and it said, you know, Rocky Horror Picture Show coming to Theater Living Arts, you know, auditions today. So I took the L, like a big grown-up kid, and went there, and we all auditioned.
That's right, and you had a big mullet, too.
I did. I had a bad Northeast.
And
know,
his hair was curly, too.
91,
so it was just all bush. And Bush.
But in my defense, you know, all my friends worked at Chess King or Bugle Boy.
Merry-go-round.
Yeah, merry-go-round was big. Oak Tree.
What are these things you're saying?
And I had, like, a big diffuser, and I would do... It was mandatory in the Northeast that your hair looked like every chick.
Yeah,
from,
right,
like, 87. I had the Pat Benatar look.
Oh, right, and you had it, like, quapped down, like,
I
over
did.
One eye.
It was like John Stamos, like, very Full House, 100%.
Hilarious.
And I was only 18. Like, I never drank. I didn't smoke. I didn't do anything. And here I go, meeting all these people, you know, doing, and we both got casted, alternating the lead role as Frankenfurter in the live tour. So it was a live stage production. They didn't do the movie. We had, like, a full orchestra with Scott Johnson and the After Dinner Mints, as the band. So, yeah. It was, like, my first real gig, like, theater gig.
Right, yeah. You're a big girl now.
And I just turned 19, right, like, during the thing.
The casting couch is already.
We put the poor crew of that. I mean, because the show ran there. It was a big show from, like, March till Halloween. Yeah, so, I mean, just me blossoming into the gay girl that I was becoming. Like, it was amazing. Like, off the record, you know, I got introduced to anything that you should see or do in Tijuana,
right,
within
or smoke.
6 weeks of the work of just meeting these people. Like,
taught you how to do that banana act where you write your name with a big pen. It was
a lot going on. Like,
good times.
You know, I was, like, seriously the young virgin girl. And I just, like, they all had eyeliner and big earrings for guys.
And lots of weed.
I started smoking pot and this and that and... You know, next thing you know, but doing that Rocky Horror thing taught me how to, you know, do makeup and hair and all this. First time ever in high heels, we all went to the Payless here on South Street, and they used to go to, like, a size 14, and they had these big pink high heel shoes. And right away, like, we just go in. And I'm like, I've never worn these before. And I was like, click, 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 click. Like,
like backflips. Like, cartwheels.
It's 18 then, yeah. But it was amazing. And, you know, off and on, like, we've gotten to work together. I started doing drag. And Joey started doing the five-spot Peekaboo Review. And then we just kind of branched out and did our own thing. And then we've come back around again.
How did you get involved with Peekaboo? Is anybody, are y'all familiar with the Peekaboo Review?
Woo! Yeah.
You need to know about them if you don't already know. They're the longest running troupe in
Yeah,
Philly?
I guess so. We started in the winter months of 98, and it wasn't a burlesque show at first. I remember doing the show, because I segued out of doing the Rocky Horror Picture Show in Jersey and at the Harwin Theater. And my friend Scott said, hey, there's, you got to come and see this show, and or at least do it. No, I think he pressured me into doing it. He was like, well, if you don't do it, you suck or something. So I did it. And the only number that I did was the Go With What You Know. I did Sweet Transvestite. And I remember somebody getting up and going, no, it's a glorified talent show in here. I don't know what the hell's going on. And my heart broke. And then we just kind of molded it and molded it and molded it until eventually, I guess, like, a year from then, it turned into a burlesque show because the one girl, she threw off her top during her belly dancing number, and I was offended. But it was just like,
offended by
how could she do that on stage? And like, because I didn't know burlesque. I loved Benny Hill as younger, but I never thought what we were doing was burlesque until she... it was to that song Adam Sandler sang about, like, how she sucks cock in the night, but she still comes home to me. And it was this funny fucking song, and she's doing all this stuff, and the lyrics are vulgar. And I just remember, like, sitting, you know, you could see the vertigo behind me going, oh, my God, what's going on in this place? And after the show, everybody just loved what was happening, the organic creativity of it between all, at the time, there was six people in the troupe. And then we just kept raising the bar for each other, you know, so it wasn't really burlesque at first, but, you know, somebody takes off the top, well, my pants are coming down in the next month, you know, and everybody just, it was like a one-upsmanship.
And now you're like the greatest troupe in the United States.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're the greatest troupe in the United States, but we do have awards.
Haven't you won so many times at the Burlesque Hall of Fame, you're like not even allowed to compete anymore?
We can't compete anymore.
Yeah. Like, that's a real thing. No, the Peekaboo Review is the standard by which like group burlesque is held. And I mean, everything from like Silent Hill nurses number to like very classical stuff. And all the dancers are like trained. It's not just like get out there and like drunk girl on a you know, like on
you
a speaker. Yeah, it's great. So I want to talk a little bit about one of the things we were discussing earlier in terms of like, so you're a dude, right?
I hope so.
Yes. You're,
it's an engorged clitoris. Yeah.
So you're a dude. You're dressed in drag. What to you is drag about?
So like for me, like drag, you know, when I moved here in the center city, you know, from the Northeast, like, you know, you couldn't, it wasn't really like a good place to be gay. Let's say Northeast in the 90s. So I know. So when I came into town, you know, I wanted to be a gay comic. And when I approached any of the nightclubs, they're like, hey, you can't, we don't have gay comedy nights. They wouldn't let me do anything, host any shows, or there was no place to break out. So, but they said if you did drag, you know, then we could bring you in and all this. And I did the live Brady Bunch show after Rocky Horror as Alice the housekeeper. I got to perform as Alice and the, oh, Mr. Brady, you know, and I had the Alice face going on. So, you know, that was like my second time doing drag. And then, you know, I thought that was it. But in order to work in the medium that I wanted to do, like be a host and gay comic, I had to start doing drag. So for me, like drag is just like the medium in which you get to express yourself in, or it's a persona that you put on in order to make, you know, your art form happen. You know what I mean? Like, if it were up to me, like, I mean, now it's like a curse and a blessing. Like, you know, everybody knows Brittany Lynn. Like, nobody calls me Ian, like, my real name. My dad gives Brittany Lynn Christmas present gifts. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm on the street, I hear people screaming, hey, Brittany, and I can't even date because if I'm out on a date, people are like, Brittany, you know what I mean? And I cross over. Like, I work with the Philadelphia Mummers. We lead the Mummers Day Parade. So it's like, I'm... I'm in all the worlds, like gay and straight. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's just now it's all Britney. And there's, I started doing stand up out of drag, but when I'm not Britney, I can't say half the shit that I get to say because then it's like, you know, then it's wrong of me, you know, to say all the awful things that come out of my mouth. But if I'm in drag, it's a free card. I could say anything I want. You know, you know, so, you know, but for me, like, drag is just the medium you have to use to express yourself.
You're not the first person to tell me that. Like, for instance, Lily St. Queer. I was like, so why'd you go into drag? And she was like, because I'm a singer, and in Philly, if you are not already famous, it's incredibly hard to get people to come to your live shows. And so if you do it in drag, though, you have like this built-in audience.
It's kind of, yeah, I mean, like a lot of times, like drag is just what's hot right now. You know what I mean? Like, and especially with Drag Race and all that stuff going on. And I find like 90% of my friends all say, oh, I'm going to do drag one time. And then they're all in the show. You know what I mean?
And it kind of waters down what you've been doing for a while, don't you think?
Yeah, I started in 96, you know, and actually Joey helped me start. Joey used to paint my face. And, you know, all those years after we finished Rocky Horror, we did it with a live movie. But the cast was run by some tyrants over at the Harwin Theater. And, like, you were not allowed to be in the Rocky Horror cast at the Harwin unless you knew every, you know, every nuance, like every little thing. But for me, that was drag boot camp from you guys because, you know, lip syncing, you know, makeup, performance. Like, you had to know if Frankenfurter moved like this and you didn't move like that, you didn't get through Frankenfurter that night. We did every character. I was Columbia, Magenta. Man. Like, we all did switch off nights. And it was like, that gave me all of the, you know, the material that I needed to learn to be a drag queen. But now everybody's a drag queen. So what do you do at that point? Then you have to, you know, that's when my comedy, you know, falls in and I sing live and like, I'm not doing backflips or dance anymore like I did in the 90s. I'm, you know, taking Ambien and, you know, and lots of Midol and stuff and just, you know.
And touching stuff down there.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to stand up without it sounding like bubble wrap is breaking at this point. You know, it's like I used to flip and twirl and
stage dive.
Remember? I mean, the Theater Living Arts had, I don't know, we haven't been there probably in like 15 years, but we used to have to dive off, you know, into the crowd and land on your 6-foot stiletto heel. Like, just, you know, no one's catching you. Mm-hmm. And then when we did it at the Harwin, it was the same thing. It was like a 5-foot elevated stage. You know, we would do it, jump off the stage during Sweet Transvestite. And then at the end for Don't Dream It, Be It, we just fell backwards and hoped for the best.
It's a trust exercise.
Every Saturday night for 5 years.
So Brittany mentioned that, like, because of being, like, known in drag, it affects, I don't even know how to gender you right now. It affects your dating life. But so you are surrounded by, like, sexy naked ladies and you're in performance all the time. Yeah. So how does that affect your dating life?
You know, and I was talking about this as somebody earlier, when you do burlesque or any kind of performance, there's always a price you pay, especially if, you know, you just start dating and you're in the middle of doing what you do and you meet somebody. Now you've got to fit their schedule and yours together. To me, it's always difficult to date and meet people when I'm doing a show because I'm always scattered around. You know, I like to flirt with everybody. I really do. Like, I don't care if you're a man or a woman, I'm going to flirt with you. Get your hand out of my pants.
Everything's fine.
But I find it more difficult to start a relationship when you're performing as opposed to already being in one and they're supporting you doing it. It's a difficult recipe. And if you're a burlesque performer, people automatically think you're just kinky as all get out. You know, like,
are you not?
But it doesn't. There you go. Like, I'm not like doing like, you know, the, you know, squatting over a glass table kinky.
Not anymore.
No, right, exactly. Not after that time with the corn and the peanuts. Oh, it was so embarrassing. But people already have this notion that you are like very. I mean. To be a burlesque performer, it depends. Like, you can do classical or neo. Like, people already have this precognition of what a burlesque performer is, probably from the taintedness of the 70s, where burlesque performers over at the Trocadero, they used to dance around nude. And like at the time, and like what's her name?
That there's anything wrong with being
there's
naked.
Nothing wrong with that, but the burlesque had already went into a downslide, and people like Honeysuckle Divine, if you don't know who she is, if you've heard all these like crazy stories about ping pong balls and all, that's Honeysuckle Divine, and she was a staple over the Trocadero. Now, they tried to arrest her plenty of times, but it never really stuck because she was stuck in the middle of two porn movies at the Trocadero as they would change the reels of these like X-rated movies. So the judges would always say, well, they're showing hardcore films down the road. Why would I arrest a woman for doing like less than what they're doing up on that stage? So it never really stuck. And it was always under the artistic, you know, the artistic umbrella. They would always, well, we think it's vulgar. Well, I think it's artistic. And the judges would always agree with them. But the only thing about the Trocadero in the 70s was it was full nude. Like there was no pasties, there was no nothing. And the women, half of them were prostitutes because, you know, they had to make the money. Burlesque was in its downfall. I mean, it was like dead. It was really dead. And it was just trying to keep up the tradition of burlesque, but not from the golden days of burlesque, of the Gypsy Rose Lees, of the Sally Rands, where everything was elegant and teasy and everything like that. You know, you walk out, like you would get a performer walking out before even the eighth bar of the note hits, like she's completely naked. It's just like, where the hell is the entertainment value of that? As well, I could, you know, as I say it out loud, it doesn't sound, it sounds stupid, but I like escaping for 2 to 3 minutes when I see a performer or a fellow performer or a complete stranger. Take me on a journey. Take me on that journey of how you first first discovered a vibrator. I don't care what it is. It doesn't have to be vulgar. It doesn't have to be anything. But let me forget my student loan bills for a goddamn 3 minutes, please. And that's what I love about burlesque. That's what I love about you. And that's what I love about you. It's and some other people. Like I know them from the audience, and I think that's what they love about it too. Is just to forget your troubles for a little bit of time and have some fun, and then you know. Get back to your student loans, or like, you know, return a Citibank credit card phone call, you know, after the show or something like that. I just need to forget all that shit for 2 to 3 minutes per number.
What do you think is responsible for the resurgence? Because right now, like, burlesque is incredibly popular. Like, you can't just like throw something in the air without hitting someone who's a burlesquer. Now it seems like it's not edgy enough for some of the people who originally were doing it simply because it's like against the grain. So what do you think is responsible for that? Aww.
I see this all the time. What
is responsible for this resurgence, this new golden age?
I can speak for burlesque. I think I've heard burlesque is in its resurgence like 10 times since 98. I don't really see it just because I do it. I mean, I think more people... It's almost like a punk rock band. Like anybody can get up on stage and do it. Just go do it, and that's good and bad because one, it will invigorate somebody who is new and somebody who has been doing it for a while. And you're like, oh my god, I really love your vision, but it can also water it down because if they're shitty, it's just if.
How many people have seen shitty burlesque? Yep.
and it really just waters down what other people are busting their ass so hard. So it has its own ebb and flow, I think burlesque does. And there's a lot of people that can attribute to the height of it. In the neo world, I'm guessing Dirty Martini and Juliette Miss Muse out of New York City. Like those are the two people that I really think kind of molded what neo burlesque was and is. But then again, you know, if you don't do anything different, there's nothing new. You're just doing the same old stuff.
I think there's probably also some sort of connection to like what is going on in the economy at the time. Because if we look at over the course of the times that we're talking about, like burlesque is definitely like fancy. It's like wasteful. It's like over the top. And there might be some sort of connection, like what appeals to us based on like how we're doing financially as a culture too.
Right. Well, burlesque was always called the poor man's theater. you know, or the poor man's follies. Because back in the days of the Depression, you would toss down a quarter and you'd spend 3 hours in the theater forgetting your troubles. You're forgetting that you, you know, you have bills to pay and everything like that. Plus, air conditioning just came out at the time. So, you know, just a way to get out of the, you know, pounding the pavement day after day. You don't want to sell your vacuums door to door anymore. And yeah, so it was always the poor man's theater, because you go to a Broadway show, you're paying how much a ticket now? You come to a burlesque show and you got this big gaudy affair happening in front of you. I mean, it's real tacky if done right, but it's a good tacky. And I think there's a lot of sexuality coming out of it that really does just wash over the audience. And I think the audience welcomes that a lot, just because creativity is a very delicate thing. And it's not even in burlesque. It could be in drag, or it could be in radio podcasting. As long as you're original, people will come see it. And if it's good, it's good. You can throw glitter on anything you want. It doesn't matter if the number is shit, it's going to be shit with, it's going to be glitter covered shit. You know what I mean?
Come see next week's show, covered in glitter and shit.
That's what we're going to call the next show. Glitter and shit.
Well, speaking of sexuality oozing and creativity and glitter and shit, are we ready for the giveaway stuff?
Yeah, that's why they're here.
I think we cleared out the riffraff. All right. So for this next portion, we're going to need some brave astronauts from the live audience. Who's up?
Yeah.
If you want her,
she's gorgeous. He's gorgeous. He's gorgeous. You're all gorgeous. Let's all do.
Yes. She said the she's.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So what I have in mind for you today is you have to be very brave. But the rewards are so terribly worth it. It's going to be amazing. So, there was an amazing little
So bite the pillow. She's going in dry. Okay.
Never, never, never. You can never use enough lube. That's not a thing. That's not a thing.
There's never too much lube.
One of the prizes is a deliciously lubey prize.
Lube smoothies for everyone.
All right.
Lube smoothies.
So you're going to come on up here, brave volunteers, and I feel like the odds are in your favor of getting some stuff, but we're going to make you work for it a little bit. Who's up first? You seem enthusiastic. Come on up. Come on up.
Is it guy, girl? Is it just girl?
Oh,
We've got a ton, so we're going to have, almost everybody's going to have the opportunity. All right. So here's what I have in mind for you. Pretty much everybody's going to get a shot if you want it. What I'm going to have you do is pull out a card from this deck. And if it is, how did I have this figured out? If it is a diamond, you're doing a truth. If it is a heart, you're doing a dare. If it is one of the other two, one of the other suits, it's sex trivia.
Ah.
All right.
And
this
you
is gonna
have
be exciting.
A theme song for sex trivia. Sing it.
Yes. So our first brave astronaut, what is your name?
Amethyst.
Amethyst. Ooh. That's amazing. Can somebody open this?
Yeah, she's the gem of
right,
tattooed
so
mom.
So Amethyst is our first one. What are you hoping to get out of those truth, dare, or trivia?
I don't know. I don't know what this entails.
Oh. Fair enough.
We don't either. Hold on.
Myself. I want to find out about myself.
And if it's a numbered card, that's how many fingers are inserted.
Oh, damn.
Up to 15.
Up to 10.
These have probably been shuffled. I don't remember.
We were
in my drawer.
Them.
All right, what'd you get? Oh, we have a club. All right, so that means it's trivia. So Amethyst gets the first trivia question. All right. This is the one anatomical structure in the human body that serves only one purpose, and it's sexual pleasure.
Penis!
It is the only anatomical structure that serves no other function. It's got one function, it's sexual pleasure in the human body. And it's not in every human body.
Pass, pass.
It's not in every human body.
Pass, pass.
Pass.
Play.
Clitoris is like a penis.
Clitoris is the correct answer, although it is not exactly like a penis.
That was...
Yes!
That question was fixed.
You know, nothing rhymes with clitoris.
Dolores.
Boris.
No.
Boris.
Like Dolores. All right.
Epiglottis.
For being our first brave volunteer, Amethyst is going to get from Sex and Mischief by Sports Sheets. You get this happy anniversary edition of the Bed Bondage Restraint
Kit. Oh my God.
Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations. Well done.
Let's try it out now.
And what is your name?
Damn it.
My name's Chris.
Chris, everybody say hi to Chris.
Hey.
Yay.
And what are you hoping happens today when you pull the card?
That I'm satisfied.
All right. I enjoy this. Okay. So we're going to have you grab out a card. Presumably they're randomized. We got a club. All right, so you get the next trivia question.
Two clubs.
It would be great if I had...
Hey, she pulled an ace and he pulled a two. Of clubs. This deck is stacked.
I didn't say that I just actually shuffled them. I said I found them in my cupboard. In a drawer. All right. This sex toy has been around for thousands of years and has been constructed of everything from rocks and fruit to rubber and glass. One of the most ancient sex toys.
I know what it is. I want to say dildo.
You would be correct to say dildo.
Ding, 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 ding. You said the magic word.
And Chris, for getting it correctly, you get this flogger. I mean, we can make that happen. We have a little bit more time on the show. Would you like to get flogged? Okay.
All right, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for participating.
Sir.
Who's our next brave astronaut? Thank you, Chris.
Yes.
And what is your name?
Len.
Len, what are you hoping happens?
Do we get the play?
I get something besides the clubs. That's what I want.
Yeah, right? It's Fair the enough. Three of clubs.
And Len is picking.
I will shit.
On the... Eight of diamonds.
Diamonds! All right, so diamonds means to truth. All right. Oh! And he walks away. All right, this was the first truth question.
So is this truth or dare or just truth?
Just truth. It is just truth. All right.
Dare to be truthful.
In this room, out of the people in this room, who would you most like to make out with?
My girlfriend, Tawana.
All right.
He had to say that.
Worked out well.
She's here.
We should have put her in a separate room in the back. Like, you know what I mean? It's like one of those booths with the
earphones.
And for getting that correct, I assume. he gets from Sex and Mischief these door play cuffs.
Oh.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marie.
So me and Joey get the play. We want sex stuff.
I want to see if any more brave astronauts would like to come up. Come on, brave astronaut.
All
and
right.
What is your name?
Kevin.
All right.
And his name is Kevin.
Three of clubs.
Ace of diamonds. Diamonds. Which means that you get truth. All right. It's a two-parter. It is a two-parter. It is a truth. First of all, what is your favorite sexual activity? And part two, would you give up all other sexual activities if you could do that anytime you wanted? Think about it. And you can all think about it. You're allowed to think about it.
Let's think about it at home, too.
Girl on top, hands on ass. And no. Too much variety. Lots of things to do. Yeah.
I assume that is correct.
Cool. Thought you were going to break into a song. Girl on top, hands on the ass.
So
girl
Kevin,
on top, hands on the ass.
Flip
so
them around.
Is going to win from Sex and Mischief by Sports Sheets. Wrap you up in my love, bondage tape.
Woo. All right.
You and me, babe.
So that biodegradable?
All right. Do we have any more? Brave astronauts. Yes. Come on up. You can come up.
Oh, yeah. Come on up. Great. Get up here and sit on my lap.
And what is your name?
My name is Katie.
Katie!
Hi, Katie.
Katie,
what are you hoping happens?
I would like a truth or a trivia.
All right.
Top shit. You're going to dance.
We'll see what can happen. At some point, I'm just going to give you what's left over out of what I planned. Oh, we have a trivia question for you.
What was that?
Three of spades.
The three of spades.
All right.
Spades.
Wait, that's not a song.
Motorhead.
All right.
I have the copyright.
So this is actually our last planned trivia question. So after this, it's going to be truth, dares, and then I got some other stuff possibly in mind. All right. This is a three-word term that... is abbreviated by SSC, and it is used to describe the principle in BDSM that you should be risk aware and everything should be agreed upon by everyone. So it's a three-word term. It is abbreviated by SSC, and it is a principle in BDSM about requiring everyone be kink risk aware and that everybody has agreed upon what's happening.
I am certain that the answer is safe, sane, and consensual.
Correct.
Ooh. All
right. Safe, sane, and consensual is the idea that all BDSM activity
sloppy, sassy,
should be,
and confident.
that everyone should know what's about to happen. It should be agreed upon by all parties. It should be within the range of what is healthy for a human body to survive. And for getting this correct, Katie, you are going to get
a confident.
These beautiful ruched burlesque gloves.
Whoa.
Beautiful job, beautiful job.
Are those Bugle Boy gloves she's wearing?
Come on up.
Yeah.
And what is your name?
Greg Surfer.
Greg! Everybody say hi to
Greg.
All right, so at this point,
he's handsome.
Having you draw doesn't make any sense because I don't have any more trivia questions. Would you rather do truth or dare?
Or gay chicken.
That sounds like a dare.
It does.
Do a dare, why not?
All right, dare. All right. Okay, for this one, you're going to make out with your own hand for 10 seconds.
Aww.
Do you know where that hand's been?
Everybody ready? Everybody
sure,
ready?
Yeah. Let's do a theme song.
All right.
Yeah, I'm ready.
And if you want to narrate, yes.
We're going to...
Okay.
Okay. Going to make out. Sticking tongue. Go deeper. Go deeper.
Putting in some good technique. Putting in
oh,
good technique.
Yeah.
And three.
All right, ladies
two,
and gentlemen, at home,
one.
He's actually fisting his mouth.
Oh. And Greg, you are walking away with From Sex and Mischief, the red leash and collar.
I'm on the box.
Well done, well done.
There's somebody in mind for that.
There you go.
I get off at 7.
Wear
right,
it to your next zombie crawl.
Of things left. Any other brave astronauts coming on up? All right, come on up. And what is your name?
I'm Zach.
Hi, Zach.
Everybody say hi to Zach.
Hi, Zach.
Yes.
All right, truth or dare? Because that's what I have left.
Truth.
Truth. All right, for the truth. All right, how many genitals have been in your mouth more or less than 10?
Just more or less than 10? Less.
All right.
That's it? Wait, I don't believe you.
Shouldn't there be a slideshow or
there
something?
There should be. Well, it looks like you're going to get...
And you are going to walk away with Sex and Mischief playing cards as well as silky sashes.
Ooh, oh. Genitals in your
Thank
mouth.
Thank you very much.
That's right, yes. Swallow more genitals.
Public service announcement.
All right. We got any more brave astronauts? You coming on up?
Come right. on. There's.
What is your name?
Kaylee.
Genitals.
Kaylee. All right. Let's see. What do I even have left? Okay. Okay. We have dares left. Are you down for that?
Fine. I'll do it.
All right. So your dare is to... do a sensual striptease that removes both of your shoes.
Ba-dow,
you can
bam.
Do that.
Bam.
I don't think I had my tennis shot.
Oh, fair enough. So is that a decline? I have another option. I have one more dare. I don't know if you want to do that
instead. Why don't you sit between us on this nice couch?
Okay.
Even sitting on the couch is kind of. Yeah.
Let's move away the cocktails.
Do we have any music we could play?
Let me pull down my business here.
Yes. Let's all scooch in nice.
Hi.
Or do you two want to make the music?
I can, yeah, I can.
Yeah, the two of you
something.
Make the music, mm-hmm. and Kaylee is going to do her sensual striptease.
Is my penis showing?
She's going to remove both of her shoes.
Ba 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 bum.
Oh, it's happening. Oh, it's happening.
Ba 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 bum.
Oh, and it was thrown. Ah.
Wait, now lift it up
thrown.
From the leg. There we go. Ah. That's right.
Barefoot.
Womp, womp, womp,
womp. Womp, 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 womp.
We could have probably done sexier music, but...
Womp, 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 womp.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
She's now a burlesque star.
How's she gonna get them back?
And your prizes include this, I think, is more restraints... And this beautiful lingerie from Bassi Lingerie.
Ooh, lingerie.
Oh, give her a round of applause, sir. Little Miss Honeytoes.
Someone right. get her shoe. I'm wearing big heels.
Now we got to suck.
I'm not tucked.
Now we got to suck the toes.
Do we have any more audience folks who would like to participate?
Touch the floor here.
Or am I turning it over to my guests? Any other audience members who would like a chance to participate? One more?
Just one more. Do it.
Yeah, one more?
What about one of our bartenders?
Yeah.
Anybody? Otherwise, I'm going to have these kids do it. All right. Going once, going twice. All right. For you kids.
What?
For you kids.
What?
All we have left is...
The
you're
loop
gonna,
shooter?
You're going to get to choose between trivia or the last dare that I have.
I'm not wearing comfortable clothes.
Trivia. You have to do the dare.
I.
Okay. So what? Wait. What? So what's the decision? Do you want to?
I
can
don't.
I actually
prize.
Have a
Get
battle.
One of these
no, I actually have a battle
members.
For you. This okay. is what's gonna happen. They're gonna go back and forth naming stuff until somebody can't name anymore.
I could do that. All right.
All right.
We've done
we're,
this before.
We're
on
gonna
acid.
Go back and forth until we run out of answers. And
okay.
you've had a pretty good primer actually for what's about to ensue.
Yes,
your
we've
topic
been lubed up.
Is sex toys. Go back and forth until we run out.
Nipple clamps.
Cock ring.
Glass dildos.
All right, sex toys. Plastic dildos.
Rib for her pleasure finger inducers.
My penis.
Oh. Okay. A big saddle whipper. it's a thing.
You mean a riding crop?
What's the riding
That's
crop
a riding
thing?
Riding crop.
Or saddle whipper, like we said in the 40s.
One of those massaging bunny rabbit dildos vibrators.
The one in the pink, two in the stink finger mabob thingy. It's a thing. It's got like, you know, I don't want to get
That's
technical for
That's
people that don't want to, you know, use the terms.
Anal beads.
I was going to say anal beads. What about the orgasm stimulator? It's like it's a big circle and you put it on your penis and it vibrates, but it's called the O. It's a real thing. Look it up.
I don't believe that's a real thing.
Like fire ants on your crotch. It's a real thing.
Fire ants on the crotch.
Is that really a thing?
Sex toys. Lady V. I don't
that?
Know what it is. I'm at a loss. You win.
You're making stuff up. What about, you know, like restraints?
Harness. Sling.
Ball gag.
Aw, that's a
I
good
know.
One.
Thank you, right? I got applause for the ball gag.
There you go. No, I'm done.
He's having out? He's having out?
I'm going to roll over and go to sleep now.
Oh, but you worked at Ties just before at the bike stop.
Well, that means that Brittany Lynn is our winner, and she gets a riding crop. You get,
I get
a saddle whipper.
The saddle whopper. In my day, we called them hoogamazzlers.
But Joey will not be going home empty-handed because he gets this three-stud designer blindfold.
Oh, my God. A And now you get to rhinestone the shit out of it. What?
I know, I'm going to rhinestone the shit out of it and then take a shit in it.
Thank you.
Make sure you tag
me in that photo.
So I want to thank everybody who just participated in the ridiculous game. Well done, well done, well done.
Before
we wrap it up, I want actually to open up the floor. We did this the last couple years, and it's always fairly interesting. If anybody has any sex questions, now is a perfectly valid time.
You're a doctor.
I am, in fact, a doctor. That's a real thing.
No, seriously.
That's actually a real thing. That's why we do this show.
Why does it itch down there?
I would need to take a look at it, actually. And I'm not that kind of doctor. I have a PhD. It's not really as useful. It just means I have to pay a lot of loans. Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
I feel if I ask this question, it's going to open up a lot of other questions.
Okay. Ask your question.
Okay. So as a gay man, right, I have this question. So a lot of my straight friends actually have more anal sex than a lot of my... I know you were there. We're going to ask a lot.
We're talking about you.
But, okay, so there's this is a real thing. I'm going to be totally honest. But as a 41-year-old gay man, I've never had anal sex. And I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot of people that just don't... You know, you like the front or you like the back. Now, my friends always make fun of me because, like, I don't... You know, I enjoy the front. I love cock. Like, I put it on my coffee. I could put it in my cereal. Like, but the thought of anal sex to me is gross. But a lot of my straight friends love when their girlfriends perform anal sex on them. Is that like a thing for everybody, or just my friends are gross?
Well, okay, so
like you have a prostate.
I can speak from survey data that definitely, no, this is a real thing.
I'm saying like straight guys, like enjoy it a lot more than gay men sometimes.
That anal sex is incredibly popular among like heterosexual identified couples now. And a lot of that has to do with just porn, making it a much more normalized thing. So people are asking for it because they see it. And the problem is that, I mean, that's fine. People can fuck whatever orifice they want. The only problem is that because we don't have any like media literacy training around porn viewing, what's happening is like kids who now see porn from the jump and they don't have to go very far to find it. It's normalized for them to have like just ass fucking all the time. And so the expectation now is that that's sexual behavior that it's just like rounding the bases, right? And so it's entirely focused on just doing that to check that off the list. And it's not remotely about the receiver's pleasure.
Right.
And that's a really big problem because it's like, when you're a kid and you're like, oh, I got to do these things because that's what everybody does. And I got to do these things because I like this person and I got to go along with this or whatever. But kids aren't actually taught to value pleasure very much at all. And if they get any sex ed, it's like reproductive health, you know, wear a condom, not a plastic bag, go. And not like, so what feels good? And like, how about you just like touch each other and like dry hump and like see what you like and like actually focus on like connecting with the person and making each other feel good. That's not at all emphasized. In fact, it's like you should not ever do things because they feel good, because that's of the devil or something. So that's the only problem, is that it's becoming more normalized. Great. I want people to feel like the menu is endless. But the problem is that we still aren't teaching people that porn is not a documentary, and that that pleasure is the reason you should be fucking.
Right, so. It's true. I mean, like when in the 90s, like you know, when I was growing up, like gay and stuff, you had to go to a Blockbuster and Errol's were not carrying the kind of DVDs that I needed to see. I mean, but now, like you know, every kid, like everyone has access to it. I can type in math homework and dicks fly up on the screen, like it's crazy, you know what I mean? So like, but now everyone has access to all this, and even like back then, like unless you wanted a specially titled, but as a gay boy, like I'm not gonna go in. Do you have Fisting Fucks 5? You know what I mean, or something
shit
like
covered grannies, please.
Like but, you just any gay porn was just butt sex, and as someone that wasn't like you know if you like it or if you don't
really
like it,
you really had
it was
to
like,
work for it. I mean, you really had to throw in those extra. You know, here's a Playboy, here's like a woman, and here's like three Blue Boy magazines just to like throw you off
mail.
The scent. International Mail. But yeah, it was. It's like it was more of a treasure hunt back then. You know, I found a videotape that was like on discarded on the side of the road. I knew exactly what it was because it always had those like cheap ass like white labels, and
right.
And I just picked it right up. I'm like, I've got porn.
It said for Joe.
Yeah, exactly. And it was my mom.
True story.
Good for her. Good for her.
No, it was
we did find your mom on a couch like this one time. I never let that go.
So she do we have any other sex related questions if you want to fire them up? I mean, this isn't the only time. You can always email
sexwithtimmy@gmail.com.
Yeah, I mean,
I have a question.
You know where I live. Yeah.
What's more preferred, do you think? Swallowing or spitting?
By whom?
I don't know. By women? I wouldn't ask you if you were.
Are you asking me?
Yeah,
if
do you like to spit or swallow? I mean, which
women
is it
who
more
perform oral
name,
sex
or
on
swallows.
Ejaculating
spitters.
People?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know that I necessarily am representative of most viewpoints of the average woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody wants to answer their opinion in here, you want
to? I'm changing my name to Spitter Swallows.
Okay.
What is your opinion on this?
It depends. Is the person really special?
So you just met them in the back of like.
So wait, what does that mean? Like, if they're special,
she just doesn't want to be called a whore.
I'll probably swallow.
All right, yeah, but somebody you just met at Tattooed Moms
just,
or something.
If you're just anyone, I don't think I'd swallow.
Because you swallow it if you like them, right? You use it as perfume.
I feel like someone who's special, they should be. They should get. They should get more. I guess as a. I don't know. What's the word for it? Yes, it is not a reward, but they should be treated at a higher level. I don't know. I don't know.
No,
it's certainly
well,
it. Like if for the right date, I'll shave my legs, but.
I think it depends.
So I'm hearing two different answers. One that I would categorize is like the difference between the two is like a degree of intimacy. It's a little bit of work. It's a little bit of like increased risk as well. Like we take greater risks with people we are more excited about. And then I also hear like effort is the other answer.
And it's
like
also
I'll put
thread
in the
count
work.
Of the sheets.
I'll put
I
in the work.
Think.
I'm not. Is it? Like,
not
I don't know
Egyptian
if it's really.
Blends.
Is it more work to swallow or to get up and then?
Yeah.
Get up.
Right. I don't know.
Or like make some weird excuse of how you have to leap. I'll be right back.
Or you just spit it in your hand and you go, oh, baby. And you just kind of leave it in their hair.
Or like pretend to sneeze.
Or
and then it just flies.
Or if the cat or the dog are nearby. You know, cats and dogs are good cum towels. By the way, my cat and dog hate me.
do we have any other questions? I feel like
what about the guys? Would you rather a spit or a swallow? Or doesn't even matter. I mean, you know,
if you had
like,
to,
not
if it was
you're
like a
swallowing
college exam.
It. I mean, would you prefer a woman or somebody swallowing or somebody just? It doesn't really even matter.
Swallowing.
Swallowing, right?
And why do you say that?
Because
what if she spit it back
after a BJ? You know, I don't want her to have to get up and go somewhere. Like I want her to curl up and stay. You know,
aww. Yeah. Stay
swallow
with
and cuddle.
Me.
So that's
don't
like an intimacy
your
and
continued me.
Contact. Oh, we just made.
Mine's playing pool right now.
Oh. Covered in cum.
Does he like to have it spit back in his mouth?
Snowballing.
This right. is, right? The snowball right. queen right here should have.
Held one time.
All right. Any more questions? Well, you're, or just.
Yeah,
survey,
we're all grown up here.
Like, whatever you want. Whatever you want. This is free right now. It's free show. Free education.
Oh.
Hello, it's Katie again. Hello, everyone.
Katie.
So I dated a boy, and we had a very strong texting relationship for a while, and I would text him, how are you? And I'd get a penis pic. And then I would text him, how was your day? And I'd get a penis pic. And I was just wondering, what is this craze? Or maybe he's a creeper. But what is up with all the penis pics?
So, I mean, before I give what I think is my answer to that, does anybody want to offer up?
It's like the new Hallmark.
Yes. Greg Surfer, please.
Thank you, Joey. Any unsolicited naughty picture is creepy.
Okay. All
right. Right.
So, does anybody have like a theory as to...
Okay. So Carlos Danger, a.k.a. Anthony Weiner, was the one that founded this school of penis response. So it's just a natural thing, you know. If someone texts you, then you just send them a picture of your penis, and a certain amount of those people will then want to have sex with you. It's a numbers game, really.
Oh, okay. So the idea is you throw it out there enough, somebody will take it, kind of like maybe...
I think it has to do with technology nowadays. The technology is advancing itself so far where you don't need to have conversations. You just go right to what you want to say via a penis pic.
Like in my day, you'd have to take a picture of your penis, take it to the photo mat hut.
Wait a week.
Wait for it to come back, get a stamp and a letter, mail it out, and then wait for an awful response.
We have an answer. Yeah. So I just have like a speculative psychological theory, which is that like... men somehow figure that the creator of the universe resides between their legs, you know, and they're just worshiping the creator when they send you the picture.
I know.
That's a good album creator.
So it's like it's like the same thought behind taking a selfie, just like, this is great.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to see this. This is fantastic.
It's better because it's the secret creator of the universe. It's not even what people see. It's like the invisible creator of the universe. Yeah.
So in that way, are they giving you like some great present by giving you access to this?
Well, that would explain the abundance of dick pics.
Ooh.
I saw another hand. Does somebody else have an explanation?
I'm going to be real and say that I just think that men feel like they have nothing to lose, like women do. Sending nudes out into the world, you know, revenge porn against men isn't really a thing. So you can just hand your dick out on the corner, and you're still going to have your job, and you're still going to have your partner. And
yeah. I don't send out unsolicited dick pics, but, like, if I did... and it sort of ended up all over the place, it would kind of be like free advertising.
Plus, he's got a pretty one.
Slow clap.
Can we get that shot up on the screen?
I mean, I can speak from my own experience. Like, I've gotten some, and my reaction was, so you want me to put this up on social media then? That's what I'm hearing. And I'm not going to blur your name. Like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to blur the dick. I'm going to draw a smiley face where the dick was. But I'm just going to be like, so,
But do you think it's like a way just to, like, forego anything? Like, it just, like, kick starts? It's like, oh, all right, Katie, here's my dick right here. If you're interested...
It's an icebreaker.
So, yeah. I think what I've heard, like, implicit from gentlemen who've I've engaged them, like, what was the rationale behind this decision? I got the impression that they were like, well, I would love it if you sent me pics, so I assume that you would like it. And, like,
you should send them
like,
a dick pic of somebody.
Send them a box of killer bees and be like, I thought you liked bees.
Somebody else's dicks. So I think it's maybe that there's a different, like, perhaps women want, in generalized terms, perhaps women are more interested in specific dicks. Like, I would like a dick pic from these people, but not necessarily in general.
I would totally like specific dick pics.
Okay. Right. Anybody in particular?
Well, you know, I can't really say on the air, but they all know who they are.
They all know who they are. All right.
Perhaps a Rolex is on it.
Do you feel like that satisfactorily addressed it? Okay, cool.
I'd like that.
Do you have any other questions while we're hanging out?
Cool.
I have a possible explanation for dick pics.
Oh, it's going to get real.
So I might be going on a limb right now, but it might be a level of intimacy that someone's trying to express without words. You could potentially say it's worth 1,000 words or 1,000 dicks.
I would like to say it with 1,000 dicks.
But I mean, you know, it is along the same lines of what you were saying as far as like, hey, if I'm paying you this as far as a picture, maybe you could return it. Ordinarily, it should be prefaced with some type of conversation like, hey, like, I'm trying to get freaky with you. Are you trying to get freaky with me too? But then there is like, just like, let's cut to the chase. So, I mean, not to say that it's ever okay, because then you kind of take away someone's consent by just like exposing yourself to that person. But I don't know. It's just a theory.
Can I call Fujifilm and say a picture is worth 1,000 dicks?
Send all your dick pics to email joeymartini@gmail.com.
I think we have time for probably one more if anybody has one. Any more? Going once?
You know what? I have a question for you.
Yeah?
It seems like as basically, it's not the sexual revolution, but I think like people are a lot more open with their sexuality nowadays.
I disagree.
You really?
I absolutely disagree.
How so?
Well, I mean, in the history of sex, we have this perspective that it's always been more conservative than it is now, and that's because we're viewing it through a lens of our own understanding. So, like, for instance, I was talking with an art historian the other day who was talking about we have this perspective of the Victorian era being incredibly uptight, and in some ways they were. But in other ways, they're constantly talking about fucking, they're constantly talking about dicks, they're constantly talking about vaginas. They just use different terminology. And to us, it's like, it's therefore like coded and hidden. And certainly there was much more repression in terms of like women aren't allowed to do things that they are now theoretically allowed to do. But like we actually are incredibly influenced by the evangelical Christian movement of the 80s that has made us much more repressed. We see a lot more nudity. We see a lot more like sex in terms of like body parts. What we see is like the commodified version of sex, which is usually just represented by thin, light-skinned woman body part. And that's sex. That is sex. And I mean, that is a facet, like, of sex, but we don't actually see like the holistic representation that we actually experience as people. So it's incredibly rare to actually see like loving intimacy, talk about sensuality, to talk about like those facets of sex. Like, you know, I think that's still really, really taboo.
Right. It's a lost art form. I get hit on by straight guys a lot.
Okay.
This is just basically why I'm saying it's okay. Just like back when I was back in my day, it seems like a lot of people are more open sexually, you know, as they as opposed to being back in the early 80s where, you know, or even in the 80s or in the 90s, some of the 90s. But I just think like guys and women and guys, you know, like one of my best friends was making out with a girl. I was like, I thought you were straight. She's like, yeah, I am. I'm like, oh, okay, no problem here. But I just think like a lot of the sexuality with everybody is like still evolving, but still like keeping that same, you know. I just find it all sexy. I love the fact that it's not just black and white anymore. It's you know, I don't know. It's a Tuesday. Perhaps I'll try a dick. You know?
Yeah. Sexual fluidity is much more talked about now than previously. But like we have to look again historically. The concept of a heterosexual didn't always exist. That construct was not even a thing because it was like, what was sex for in your culture? Like when we look at the ancient Greeks, we have this perception of them like being, oh, they were so cool with gays. No, they weren't actually at all. That's not what it was about. It was just that like your wife is for fucking for procreation, and she probably didn't even get naked. You fucked like a young boy because that was part of the process of grooming him like culturally and socially and turning him into an adult. And then you fuck prostitutes to have fun. And those are the people you do crazy shit with. And so like we're again viewing everything through the lens of like what it's like in our culture, and it's like that's not accurate. So like the construct of heterosexual was created in the very, very late 19th century in reaction to talking about introverts who were like folks who specifically want to only have sex with the same gender. So these are all really new ideas. And then bisexuality, pansexuality becoming much more openly discussed now.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of more sexuality is coming out. There's like words that I'm not even recognizing.
And like demisexual, anymore. Asexual, yeah. All so, of these things.
You know what?
Were not
I know you're
discussed.
Making words up right now. I have no idea.
Well, yeah, if you're not familiar with these terms, like asexual is just lack of attraction, and it's perfectly valid. And there's a whole spectrum of asexuality as well. There's people who still want to be in romantic relationships, but they don't necessarily want to get down, or they don't have interest in relationships either. It varies. And then demisexual is a term that is referring to someone who doesn't just walk around wanting to fuck people. You're not like yes, 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 or no, no, whatever. But instead, they form a connection with a specific person, and then through that like relationship, become sexually attracted to them. So that's a thing that people are starting to identify as well, demisexual. So that's another thing.
Thank you, Timmery.
The more you know.
The more you know.
The more you blow.
So before we close it out, I wanna thank y'all for coming on, and give you an opportunity to tell people where they can find out more about you, when they can see shows, etc. Where can folks find you?
So you can check me out at phillydragmafia.com, and Instagram is Britain Lynn's Drag Mafia. We're gonna be at Taboo, Frankie Bradley's. Gonna be at Miss America, Atlantic City. It's a lot going on this month. So just go to phillydragmafia.com. We have a whole calendar, and I'm usually with these two kids here.
Right. There you go. And if that doesn't put you to sleep, you can come over to peekabooreview.com. I'll be at Taboo this Friday.
Maybe.
With these two delicious entities on either side of me. I'm doing a Dr. Sketchy's Clue Party at the end of September with Candy Mayhem, and also doing Frankie Bradley's October 4th
for the
Mad Monster Party.
Could be gay.
And you can see me on my webcam at joeytakesitall.com. And
/
see me wearing my blindfold.
Oh.
No, it's not a real website. Please, nobody go to that. I have no idea.
It is now. I just bought the domain.
So you can find out more about me from the Sex with Timmery podcast. It's sexwithtimmery.com. It's now also streaming on Philly Weekly's website, philadelphiaweekly.com. So there's that. And also just a couple shout outs. I wanna thank all of you for being here, because you're awesome. Woo! And you played along.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were so much fun. This is great. I want to thank Tattooed Mom for giving us a space. They've been phenomenal this whole time.
Love this
is
place.
Such a cool venue. Tonight at apparently 25 o'clock. What?
Damn, I'm late.
25 o'clock is the name of the show? At 25 o'clock. Okay. All right. Now I get it. Okay. At 25 o'clock, it's live music, and they're going to be at 8 p.m. at the Bridge Set Sound at 710 South Street. So that's just down the street a little bit. If you are in the room, that's useful information. If you're listening to this at home, just zoning out.
Go back in time.
Yeah.
I personally would like to thank our knob jockey tonight, Nathan.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. And... that yeah, we cannot stress enough that we are all here because this is the third Philadelphia Podcast Festival, brought to you by the producer of Sex with Timmery, Nathan Caruna, and also with the efforts of Tegan Caruna. Thank you very much for all that you do to make this happen. So this is our third year, and it keeps getting bigger and it keeps getting better, and it's thanks to their genius and their hard work. So props to them. And again, thank you all for coming. This was super fun, and you were great. You were so much fun.
Let's drink more social lubricants.
Social lubricants. There's never enough lube. All right. Thank you so much, and have a good night.
That's right. Don't forget, everybody sucks but you.
Hey, friends and family of Sex with Timmery. We are so grateful to have your listenership. We have the coolest fans in the world. It's pretty much the best. And we hope that the love is mutual. If you are interested in supporting the Sex with Timmery media, either the website, the podcast, head on over to patreon.com/sexwithtimmery and become a supporter. For as little as $1 a month, you can be a regular supporter and continue to bring independent media that provides the kind of information that you want to have out in the world. Over here at Sex with Timmery, we have been doing this stuff for years. As you've noticed, we've got over 200 episodes. The Sex with Timmery website has been up since 2008. We've been giving you the goods for absolutely no cost, and we will continue to do so as long as we can. So thank you so much for your listenership, and we do hope that you will check it out. Patreon.com/sexwithtimray. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Sex with Timmery, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmery.com, Sex with Timmery on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmery_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.